Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
We are running out of time here on day one of 2025. Bob Pompiani, Austin Bechtel with you. Joe will be back on Friday. In the meantime, we have Texas and Arizona State about to kick off, and Texas is a healthy 13.5-point favorite in that game. That's at the Peach Bowl, 5 o'clock. It's probably the best game of the day, Ohio State-Oregon, and the Buckeyes are 2.5-point favorites. And then tonight, and Penn State fans will be watching this one, Notre Dame against Georgia. The Irish are a 1-point favorite. Let's rattle off some calls before we send it over to Cale Berger. Pitt coverage of the Panthers and Cal coming up. Starting at 1:30, tip-off at 2 with Bill Hillgrove and Curtis Aiken. Shark in Elizabeth, you're up first, Shark. What's up?
Hey, Bob, long-time fan. Older than you. I'm 82. I don't know how old you are, but I remember Chuck Knoll's first season, 1-13. We go on and win 4 Super Bowls in 5 years. Could have been 5. So what I'm thinking, we have some unrealistic goals. We've only had the 49ers. A dynasty, New England a dynasty, and now Kansas City. So is it realistic really to sit here and think that we could do that again? I think that we almost have to forget that and figure 10-6 is not that bad. We're not.
Well, it is after you go 10-3 though, Shark, and the potential of 10-7 is out there.
That's true, that's true. But look at it this way, Bob. Here we are in Pittsburgh. We're afraid of an 8-8 team.
Not only afraid, I think.
At home, what good Steelers team would be afraid to play and pick to lose to an 8-8 team in the past?
Well, first of all, they're not, Shark, and thank you for being a longtime fan. I appreciate it. Thanks for the call. They're not afraid. I think fans are looking at the way things have disintegrated here over the last couple of weeks 15 through 17, 0-3, only scoring 13 a game and giving up 30. That's not what you want heading into the playoffs. You got to right the ship there. So I think they feel comfortable that they can do that against a team that, for the most part, they have owned in the AFC. I think Joe Burrow is a dangerous guy. I think there's no way around that. And that doesn't mean they're afraid. I think people understand that if you don't do the right things against Joe Burrow, he can burn you, and which is why the over and under in this game is pretty high, I think, at 48.5. Let's go to Ed in Hempfield, who joins us right now. Hello, Ed. How are you doing?
Hey, Pomp, I just want to let you know you are an inspiration for me. I'm actually working a little bit longer, holding off on retirement, because I just see you going and going and going like the Energizer Bunny. And I said, you know what?
I appreciate that, Ed. But, you know, if you love what you do and I trust you do, you just keep on going. Why not?
All right, I hear you. Real quick, I heard on your segue that Saquon's not going to get a chance. I'm a big Penn State fan. That's the right call. That Eagle team with their offensive line and their defense, they're a very legitimate chance to win the Super Bowl. As a matter of fact, this is hilarious. At the party I was at last night, purgatory for Steeler fans is watching the last 10 minutes of the Eagle game looped over until you're called out, where the Eagles took the ball 95 yards and took a knee to end the game. But the Steelers, they need help at a lot of various. They're a good team. They're not an elite team.
No, they have holes. There's no question. They do.
Yes.
And it was revealed over the elite teams you play. I mean, if you're trying to get to that level, that's. And I think we all knew that going in. Their weeks 1 through 14, you had a chance to build up your schedule, knowing that weeks 15 through 17, you had these three teams.
It's exactly what happened. So they need help. I think they can do it, too. As far as Wilson goes, if he's willing to take a very friendly team contract, 2 or 3 years, 18 to 20, I don't know if he will, I'd sign him.
Well, again, it just depends on how that works out. I would never go more than 3 years. I would prefer 2. I understand that
you can
roll it out longer and put some less money on the salary cap if you go longer, but I don't want to deal with that either. So we'll see. I mean, if he plays well this week and plays well in the first game, they win a playoff game and there's some hope there. Yeah, I mean, I would consider that for sure. But I think it's unknown at this point because there's still a lot that can happen. And they have other needs for sure. And how much money will they spend on a quarterback versus other positions? So all
yeah, you're right.
Makes
and I
for
give them a lot
interesting.
Of credit. They put so much into the offensive line. And they just keep trying and missing a little bit. But they're getting better. They're getting better. But they're still, you know what I mean?
Well, I think here, potentially they've spent a lot of draft equity in offensive line, Ed. And, you know, Frazier's been terrific. He's a rookie of the year for the Steelers this year. I think McCormick has shown that as a, what was he, a fourth-round pick, that he could be something at that right tackle or right guard position. Now, Broderick Jones has got to be better, and I think Troy Fautano is a good pick. We'll see what happens when he gets in there. But they're going to still need more help there, yes.
I agree. Another couple years, and they need to draft well.
All right, Ed. Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Hey, God bless and God be with you.
You too. Thank you. That's Ed in Hempfield, 412-928-9370. I want to remind you the Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The Fan Text Line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. So, Barkley, you brought that up in the headline, Austin. He's not going to play. I assume that's his choice. But what if it's Nick Sirianni's choice and he wants to play? I don't know if we'll get to play. I don't know what that really is. If you're him, do you want to play? Do you want to be that guy to get the record, especially against the Giants?
Yes, no doubt about it. If I was Saquon, I'd try to go out there. It's only 100 yards, and I mean, I know that seems like a large number.
Yeah, but he can get two
already
of those in two. You know, he can get 35 yards one fell swoop.
Yes,
he breaks it off quickly.
I think he could do that in the first half against the Giants, who he has a probably a vendetta against. And Tiki Barber's on the broadcast call, too, and Tiki Barber said, "You're dead to me, Saquon, for leaving the Giants," when he left in free agency. It was literally the perfect storm of, like, an explanation of, hey, Saquon can break the record, former team, Eric Dickerson's complaining about it. It just made so much sense. Play Saquon for a little bit, but I understand why they're not. They want to make sure he doesn't get hurt.
Yeah, I mean, it can happen in practice. How many injuries have we seen in practice, over the years? So, I'm a little surprised. I would have played him a half to see where he is and then moved on from there. But again, they're not going to get a bye week most likely. It's going to be the winner of that Detroit Vikings game, right?
That's where we are. Yes, that's determined.
Okay, so they don't have a bye week. They're going to need rest. I get it. Kansas City does have a bye week. I was a little surprised to hear that Mahomes wouldn't play at all. Maybe only because I think Andy Reid has shown in the past that, as you said, 25 days in between meaningful games.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. That's a month almost. And Peyton Manning, I go back to the days where Indianapolis clinched in week 15 or something, and then they had like over a month where they weren't really playing competitive football. And there's, indications based on their play when they got back on the field that affected them somehow, some way. So a rest is good. Over rest may be a problem, but that's a pretty talented team when they're playing at home and all you need is two wins, not three. That's a huge advantage for Kansas City.
Significantly, and I just feel like we've been saying over and over again, well, somebody's going to get the Chiefs, and only Buffalo's been able to do so. I think Buffalo's the only team that can go to KC and win. Like, if the Steelers win, or is the only wild card team to win?
I think Baltimore can. I think Baltimore can go anywhere and beat anyone.
Baltimore has struggled there, but, they probably could win there, yeah. I don't think that the Steelers would go there and win, though. And I think it would probably be as bad as it was on Christmas.
What do you think the point spread would be?
7.5. Yeah. It was Kansas City, 2.5 on Christmas Day?
Yeah, they're underdogs. But here, there, it'd be a whole different, all of that factors in. So, yeah, I mean, it depends. What do you think the point spread will be if Pittsburgh goes to Houston, which is most likely? I think Pittsburgh will be an underdog.
I think it's only going to be by like a point.
Yeah, they'll take into consideration everything. A lot of it depends on how they play this week, too. And if the problems still exist, CJ Stroud's perfectly capable of putting and playing well in a game.
He is, but a sophomore slump is real. And maybe Bobby Slowick's been figured out a little bit, an offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
They've not been able to just move the ball.
No, not at all. So we'll see what happens. All right. We only have a few more minutes left. And during that time, we'll talk about the Penguins briefly, that they went into Detroit last night and lost a game, which was tied 2-2 late into it. And then they got a power play. They did Detroit, and T.J. Compher scores on a power play rebound, and then they get an empty net goal, 4-2. Now the Penguins have a pretty daunting task ahead of them at Florida, at Carolina, before they come home to take on some teams, including the Edmonton Oilers and Connor McDavid and company. That's a high-octane kind of team, but You know, they need points, as many as they can get. I thought last night was a prime example of 2 points that was available to them, or at least one. You want to get points any way you can get them, and they could not seal the deal there, even though the game was tied with about 6 minutes remaining in that. So we'll see what the Penguins have in store. Pitt will take on Cal today. Pitt is 10-2, but as you heard Austin say, that Ishmael Leggett will not play in this game. So they have some injuries. Damian Dunn is on his way back, hopefully at some point. We'll see how that goes. But Cal is not all that good of a basketball team. Pitt is still a heavy favorite, and I would expect them to win today as they open up ACC play at home at the Peterson Event Center. All right, what do we have? A couple of minutes left. Do you want to do any predictions?
Sure. How about Arizona State not really moving the ball on Texas? They're getting a lot of penalties currently. The game's about 5 minutes in. Texas almost blocked an Arizona State punt, and it was very, very close to being blocked. But I think there was a penalty on the punt running into the kicker, and Arizona State has kept the ball, and now they're driving. I think Texas is going to win,
yes,
though.
No, I think Texas is a big favorite, and they should be. And I think Texas will win this game, which will set up an interesting matchup if it's Texas, and whether it's Ohio State or Oregon. That would be a big game to watch.
Huge game. That's, I think, maybe going to be the best game of the entire playoff is going to be the Rose Bowl.
Well, so far in five games, there haven't been any close scores anyway. We'll see how that goes. And if you're a Penn State fan, which you are, what do you want tonight? Do you want Notre Dame or do you want Georgia?
It's a really tough pick because Georgia missing Carson Beck is huge. But I still think I'd take Notre Dame because I think Georgia is just such, not intimidating in terms of like, yes, it's us, woo is me, Georgia. But their offensive and defensive line is what concerns me because Oregon and Ohio State were the two teams that were able to get a huge push against Penn State on both lines. And I would rather go up against Notre Dame, who I think is more of an even match.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that's a tight game, and Notre Dame is a one-point favorite, surprisingly, in that game. So that will wrap it up for us. Austin's been fun. I'll see you again, Bob. Next week, next Monday here. We'll be wrapping up the regular season and looking ahead to the playoffs. Joe will be back on Friday. Tomorrow, Austin will be here with Jason Mackey, and we always have sports coverage for you. Again, the big news of the day here from an NFL global perspective is Saquon Barkley will not play in the finale, so that means he will fall short of his 100 yards behind Eric Dickerson in the pursuit of the all-time rushing record. But Philadelphia has bigger things that they're worried about, like winning a Super Bowl, and they're pretty much in a position to do that, you think. 412-928-9370, always mark that down. It's the number of the fan hotline. Join us tonight and every night on KDK-TV. We will have another edition of the Ireland Contracting Nightly Sports Call. That's a show we do 7 nights a week. Don't be a stranger there. Call it. It's also simulcast most nights here on 93.7 The Fan. So for Joe Starkey, who's enjoying today, for Austin Bechtel, I'm Bob Pompiani. Thanks so much for joining us. Happy New Year, and we'll see you this week all the way with pregame coverage on KDK-TV beginning at 11:30 on Saturday morning. Until then, have a great rest of your week, and all the best to you in 2025.